Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so pumped to have another fireside chat with leaders that will be joining me at the Digital Built Week in Seattle coming up in July. And today we have two guests. We have Bianca Rodriguez, who is going to be doing a presentation at Digital Built Week titled Using Augmented Reality, AR, for Quality Assurance, Quality Check, QAQC. Bianca has had 4 years in the industry, been with BN Builders, we're going to learn about, for a year and a half. And as we get teed up for this, she's going to be kind of the guide on this conversation. Her title is Innovation Engineer at BN Builders. And like I said, she'll be speaking at Digital Built Week with a separate presentation of Neil Gordon, who's titled the Innovation Manager at BN Builders. So we're going to go in and have a fireside chat today, and we're going to use their platforms that they're going to be talking about at Digital Built Week, where Neil is going to be talking about AR for design coordination verification. So we have the manager veteran, and we have the engineer student, and we have Devin coming in. He's going to ask them all kinds of fun questions around the augmented reality and QA and QC and have a ton of fun and learn. So what we're going to be talking about in the learning objectives are how can AR can be used in the quality assurance quality check process. I'm going to ask them, how do you set up models for exporting to the iPad and HoloLens? How do you locate models in the field using QR codes? And how to organize documentation of exported models and QR code markers? It's so fun to dive in and have a fireside chat with people that have truly lived these amazing tools. So let's go and have some fun and get to know Bianca first, and then Neil. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, just what the doctor ordered for today. I don't know if we've ever had a Dr. Pepper. I love it. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Probably have to be Cinque Terre tour I went on in Italy. It's on the coast of Tyrrhenian Sea. It's beautiful.
Awesome. Give us one story from that trip.
I was standing on a big rock with my back to the ocean, just mistake number one, eating some gelato. My wife's trying to take a picture of me, and a big wave popped up behind us, and everybody around me just got wiped out, including myself. But I did manage to hold on to my gelato, but my passport was soaked, and my wife was scared for a minute. She thought I got swept out to sea, but made for a good story later.
I'm seeing a cool visual there of you holding up your gelato as everything else is crumbling. But in that moment in time, you were living in that gelato moment in time, huh?
It was incredible gelato, yeah.
Had a girl. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena we passionately call the AOC?
Hobby-wise, my favorite thing is snowboarding for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. What's your favorite resort or place you've ever rode at?
Banff Mountain in California was pretty amazing, but Lake Tahoe was really beautiful and really fun, sunny.
Awesome. We'll have to get you out here to Colorado. We have a few great rides as well. So yeah. Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Bianca. And next, we're going to turn the mic over to Neil and ask the same question. So what's your favorite beverage, Neil?
Coffee.
Awesome. And what's your favorite place you've traveled?
Hawaii. Kauai.
All right. I was going to say, which island? So what's one experience? We'll live in vacation in Kauai.
So one night, my wife and I were, you know, sitting in the room and gotten dark, and we decided we'd go and take a night walk out on the beach. So we go out on the beach, and as we're walking down, we come across these people, and we're like, what are these people doing? We go over, and there's two sea turtles that are just sitting on the beach there, just hanging out. And so we were able to see those and get right up close to them, and it was pretty cool.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? We'd love to break down and call the AOC.
For the most part, just getting outdoors. I like to go hiking, biking, camping, all that kind of stuff. Kind of, you know, living in the city, I really enjoy getting out of the city and getting away from everything.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Bianca and Neil, who's going to take us on a journey today. But let's start off by, Neil, what's your story that led you as the innovation manager to BN Builders today?
So I was previously working at another general contractor here in Seattle. And quite a few people that worked at the same company as I was at moved to BN Builders. And over time, I talked with them quite a bit and got to know about BN, and they showed interest in me. So I came in and talked with them, and I really found that it was a good fit. For me, in the you know, BDC world, I'm always one of the, you know, calling us innovation fits me really well, because I constantly want to innovate. And one of the big things about BN Builders for me was that they make a focus to make sure that we are one of the technology leaders in our, you know, GC world, in our scope of the GC world. And they, you know, they make an effort, they give us a really nice budget, and they really understand that if we can stay out ahead on the technology side of the AOC industry, we can distinguish ourselves from our competitors. And for me, that's ideal, because that's what I want to do, and that's, you know, really my drive. So it's been a really good fit for me here. Now I've been here for 3 years just this week, and I really enjoy the company.
Outstanding. And how about you, Bianca?
I started out with a background with the MEP trades, specifically doing some design for HVAC, and then learned a little bit more about plumbing. And I actually made the move over to BN Builders, and this is my first general contractor that I've worked for, and I actually love the change because it's diverse and there's a lot to learn. You have to kind of know a little bit about everything, which is, so I like diversity. I get a little bit bored doing the same thing over. So I really like where I fit into this company as well.
Awesome. Neil, can now you talk through and give us the history of BN Builders?
So BN Builders, I think they've been around for like 15 years now. It was a few different people from DPR that started up BN Builders. And started as just a kind of a small GC, mainly focusing on healthcare and life science here in Seattle. And over the years, they've, you know, BN Builders has continued to grow, opened up an office in San Diego, had an office in San Francisco that then split and started their own company. And recently we've opened up an office in LA, and now we're back in San Diego again. So the one thing about BN Builders that I find pretty unique, and it's been kind of a focus from the beginning, is they wanted to kind of change the culture of a GC. They didn't want it. The other GCs I've dealt with and worked for, it's still kind of old school, kind of managed by intimidation. You know, you got to do it this way. You got to stick to this. This is tried and true. And where at BN Builders, they want to, you know, one of our sayings is leave your ego at the door. We don't technically have titles. We don't have titles on our business cards. We want it to be open. We want you to come in, feel as though, you know, we're going to give you the opportunity and a job and to grow and succeed. And we want you to take pride and take ownership and be that kind of person. So that kind of attitude and that kind of culture is really what's started B&B. And I think it's really the key piece of B&B today.
So Bianca, as a newer employee with BN Builders, what's your take on the company? And I believe you said a little about a year and a half with the builder that I love on their tagline on their website. It says collaborative people, progressive builders.
The people that I work with, I realized really quickly how talented the pool of people that works here is. And that made it really exciting because I knew people were going to be willing to try new things, to work together, to work with me. What, you know, in the BIM world, you get a lot of resistance. And here we're being embraced as a BIM team. And it's just super unique to walk into a construction office and have that kind of vibe. But it's also a big thing for me. I'm a woman in the construction industry. I've always been the only girl in a lot of cases. And there's a ton of talented women here that I get to work with, and that's also a new aspect that I think is really cool and interesting and a really big part of the company's culture. Like, it's a kind of a tribute to them too, because they're just looking for talent. It just, you know, it's one big wide open pool, and they take everybody that's willing to learn and help make this company great.
Awesome. Well, we've had some great conversations, Bianca, leading up to this fireside chat. And I want to put you, this is a tough question and a big question, but as we've been talking, what's your take with augmented reality today, and what do you think that will be in the future as you've really worked hard on these different tools?
I think augmented reality right now is something new for our industry, and so people are kind of being wowed by it. But I think for the future, it's going to become a regular tool, just like the iPhone did. Something that everybody's going to have use for information. I think it's going to be great for visual learning. I think a lot of people are visual learners. So in the future, I foresee it being everybody's hands, basically.
Awesome. Neil, what would you add to that?
I would agree. Today, it's in its infancy. I mean, if you follow AR across all the different aspects of what it could be used for, there's definitely some other industries that have started to take it a little farther than what construction has. But I do think, for me, it's doing this for as long as I've done and running coordination and being in the models, I've always kind of had this desire to find a tool that I could connect what we have in our model to what they're doing in the field. And we've tried quite a few different things. You can take the model out on an iPad and spin it around and look, but to be able to go out and actually overlay the model into the real space it's going, that's the connection that I've been looking for. And so that's, you know, we're starting to do that. We're starting to see the benefits of that in a few different ways. And I think from there, I can only see it growing with the way that the technology's advancing and the people we're showing. We're showing from owners' reps that are blown away to the foremen and the workers out on the field. I'll show those guys. And, you know, they're just as blown away as anybody else. And every time I talk to people, everybody has different ideas on how they could use it. So I really think, you know, right now it's really starting to take off, but in the future, it's just going to explode. And again, I think the thing that's really going to, where we're going to see the huge change is once 5G is something, it's a reality, and the data is going to come faster, it's more accurate, and all of that's going to make another just amazing change to the whole AR industry.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I've been learning from so many amazing experts like you guys and gals. And through the process, it's like, well, I keep asking the questions and trying to understand, like, how do we turn this stuff from a video game or this cool thing on an iPad to how we do business? And so that's where the AOC is working with several companies of connecting these technology and, most importantly, handshakes to make this a better way to do business. And what I'm learning is the AR and augmented reality is this amazing tool from the process, the building informational process of really using that. And that's what we want to really dive into that. So Bianca, what is redlining in your eyes today and where we're going when we say the word redlining in as-built documentation?
Whenever I think of redlining, I think of it as a very time-consuming process, but necessary for as building documentation for what actually gets installed into the building, because we all know that there's going to be diversions naturally because there are things that are unforeseen. But getting someone paid time to document it and be dedicated to that is really difficult for companies, understandably. But I think this technology is going to change that too, because now we're going to be able to go into the field and redline in the field with the augmented reality tools that we have coming out.
And Neil, what would you add to that?
I would agree. Right now, it's a kind of a monotonous process of 2D drawings, trying to relate what's happening in the field back to a 2D drawing and trying to, you know, document it in a way that's understandable, which sometimes can become pretty difficult. Then it starts to lead to, you know, more drawings, more links, more things. And so then the documents start to stack up, and then you're just trying to, you know, read through all that stuff to try to find out what's real. I think with what we're doing and the way that the augmented reality is going, if you have a snapshot in the field of exactly what was built, and you can add notes and stuff to that and push that right from the field back to the office where you're running all of your QC and red lines, that putting that, you know, image in with it, would that one image would take care of almost the rest of the documentation. And again, for us, you know, with construction, I think anyone that's in construction these days sees that the main goal anymore is faster. And if we can find ways to be more efficient, and redlining is one that does take up a lot of time, and with this new process, we can find clean up that time for those engineers to do other stuff and to keep things moving. I think it's just all in all going to, you know, change the way almost anybody does a job on a project site these days.
So is it safe to say redlining is all about those making changes, but using the augmented reality tools of overlaying the actual project, those changes can now instantly, in a, the fastest way manner, make it veer to the finish line versus the silos that have broke up of when one project manager or one person is physically documenting something that the handoff of a construction project, that's where the technology really does fast track the handshakes, right?
Yep. So we, one thing that was really interesting based off of that is we just had a meeting with the Visual Live guy, that the software that we use, and their next version that's coming out, you can actually as built an augmented reality. So if something does get built different, you can actually trace it in augmented reality and push it back to your model and then have it in your model accurate to what was in the field. Now, of course, we all have to understand it's still within a plus or minus an inch. But still, instead of trying to take measurements and laser scan and get big files back and forth, being able to just use your hand to put a pipe in where a pipe is now is just going to change that whole aspect so much.
Did I hear you say Visual Live? What is Visual Live?
I'll let Neil. He's the one that introduced it to me, so I'll let him speak on it.
So Visual Live, it's an interesting story on kind of how I got to Visual Live. For me, I had a friend that works for a company called Synchro, and they have developed their own AR app for their program. And he was in town about 2 years ago now, and he came in to give a presentation on their software because we use it here. And then he showed what was coming next. And he brought out his HoloLens and loaded up the model. And we had some executives and IT people in the room, and everybody was just completely blown away. Our IT guy is kind of a bit of a geek himself. And the next day he goes, "Hey, by the way, I ordered you a HoloLens." And I was like, "Awesome." So then once I got the HoloLens, I started looking into the different programs that were for the AEC industry. And I came across Visual Live and a few others. And the thing about Visual Live that I like, I'm the kind of person that the least amount of steps to get something done, the better. And for Visual Live, it was download their plugins, load up your model, export it out. Exports it to their website, open up the HoloLens, go to the website, go to the menu, there's the model, and it loads up. So it's like 3 or 4 steps. So I thought that was pretty impressive. And from there, I got in contact with the guy that was running the company. He gave us some trials, and I was able to set up some stuff for our company to show the company how it works and what we can do with it. And from there, we did a license agreement, and then have been using it now for about 1.5 years from about when Bianca started. But they have, you know, they really have pushed the app from when they first started it to today. It's like night and day. And now they have apps like for the HoloLens, iPad. You can use it on your iPhone. And then they have one, I don't know if they released it yet, for the Magic Leap that's coming out. And of course, they're already in development for the app for the HoloLens too. So they're really kind of leading, in my opinion, the industry on AR for AEC.
So let me try to just recap that and make sure I'm understanding. So Visual Live is the tool that is app-based that they've made for the HoloLens and for the iPad, right? So the Visual Live is this software that takes the HoloLens goggles and makes it work on an iPad. Is that accurate?
Yep, it works on both iPad and the HoloLens, but yeah. They have two separate apps, one for the HoloLens and one for the iPad. But you use the same models on both.
And what are the apps? What are the name of the apps if people are interested?
It's HoloLive for the HoloLens and MobileLive for the iPad and iPhone.
Got it. And so what you really gravitated to was that simple approach and easy to use is what your testimonial is for Visual Live, right?
Yep.
Cool. And then you talked about the vision of BN Builders. I think that's really worth aligning, is you're saying the vision and kind of where Visual Live was going aligned with BN Builders. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
So again, like I said, you know, we want to continue to try to lead the technology. And so that's kind of been one of the kind of asks from me. That, you know, that's kind of one of my roles as being in the innovation manager. And so for me, again, like I said, I wanted to find that connection. And we've talked about it as a company as well. And so being able to, you know, like I said, first of all, having them buy me a HoloLens because they thought it was cool, that was just, you know, like, this is going to be great. And then letting me have the time to experiment and find the right app, find the right tools, be able to go out on a job site and try it out while people are trying to work and get things working, and then show certain people and then get it in front of our customers. You know, it's just the way that BN Builders works. You know, there was never any real hurdles for me to get past. They seen what I was doing, they trusted in what my plan was. And so it just kind of aligns with the way I want to do things. And to see it come to where it went, I mean, again, it just fit really perfectly in the way that Bean wants to kind of approach technology as a GC.
And that's key, AOC Tribe, is what he's talking about, is the visionaries and leaders of Bean Builders were shown this tool. They took the time to learn about this tool and were really impressed in it. And so if you're not investing in trying these new tools, you are falling behind so fast today. And then having trusted partners like Neil, that giving him the trust to say, okay, we bought the HoloLens, now go make it work, and not getting in the weeds too much to push that stuff forward. Would you say that's kind of a good synopsis of me tooting your visionary leader's horn there at BN Builders?
Yep.
Awesome. So any other coordination, Bianca, of the Visual Live that you would circle back with, other things it does?
The team that I work with, they specifically use it for quality checking the MEPF, so mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and fire protection that was being installed in the building. We started using it on a TI building with a really complicated mechanical system, and they needed a way to go out into the field and look to see that things were being installed as we coordinated. They invested a lot of time and money, both the owner and BN Builders, in coordinating those efforts, and our project manager was really adamant about making sure that the install followed that coordination. And so a project engineer went out into the field, and it was his job to go and double check, hey, is this being installed? If it wasn't, he created reports and was able to visually communicate what he found or changes that were made to get answers back on why it was changed and or why it was missing, why an item might be missing. So the visual aspect of that really helped them out.
Awesome. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bianca, that's what you're going to be kind of talking about at Digital Built Week, of about using the augmented reality for your presentation. Is that correct?
That's right.
So if you're interested or available in July coming up, go check out Digital Built Week. There'll be all kinds of notes in our show notes. Amazing group of people, with people like Bianca and Neil that will be presenting there. And anything else you would say about the presentation you're going to be doing at Digital Built Week about augmented reality?
Not that I can think of. That I want to save a lot of it for the people that come see me.
Awesome. Way to dangle that carrot. So good job. What's the title of your presentation again, Neil, and the synopsis for Digital Built Week?
It's using augmented reality for design validation. And what my presentation will be is a little different than Bianca's, of course, in that on a project that we were doing here in Seattle at the Asian Art Museum, it was built in 1930s and hadn't been renovated since. So we got the project of the historic renovation of this art museum. And part of the plan for this project was the current system in there was, you know, from the 30s, and it wasn't performing to what they needed. And, you know, they have a lot of really expensive artwork and everything else. And the story that I like to tell is, to control humidity, they would open the windows in the attic area to try to get humidity out to keep things where they're supposed to. So that's how bad the system was working. So then the whole plan was just completely demo out the whole old system and put in a new system, but reuse the existing mechanical rooms for the new system. So what I was able to do is, once the demo was finished, we brought the facilities guy and the other guys out there, and we were able to show them what their new mechanical room was going to look like before we even started building it. And they were willing to sign off on the design of their mechanical room based off of that AR experience.
Wow. So the AR really was used for that QA, QC kind of front-end check and what did the work.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then the Visual Live is what you're using for exporting to the iPad, and HoloLens is that tool, correct?
Yep.
Cool. And so how do you locate these models in the field using QR codes?
We use our Revit models to set down basically markers, and we'll put that into our Navisworks model, and then with the Visual Live add-in for Navisworks, you can go and place QR codes on those markers. We use columns because those are the only sure things that we know will be in the field for us to place markers. So you digitally place the markers in your model, and then you push it to the cloud, and then you're able to download it to your device, and you print out the QR codes and paste them onto the columns. That way you can scan them and pull up the model.
Awesome. So you're going to have to bear with me a little bit, AOC Tribe, if this is a question that you're like, Devin, you don't know what a marker is, and you don't know what a Navisworks is. So I'm just going to ask the questions and bear with me if this is a refresher course. So can you just walk me through, when you say markers in Revit, what that means and push through with Navis?
So in Revit, I just build a little generic box family that I could basically export into Navisworks, which is what we use for coordination. It's also in the Autodesk family. And so we put all the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire, architecture, and structure models all in one model. We put it all together in Navisworks. And so with the markers and all those models in, we can open the Visual Live, add it in Navisworks, and then go and literally tag each marker that we place. And it tags it with a QR code digitally. And then when you're done adding all your markers, you're able to, through the Visual Live app again, push that model to the Visual Live cloud. And then that's how it's kind of synced to your mobile device.
Cool. I really appreciate this. So when we say a marker, it's like actually pointing to something in your BIM or your digital model that you're using the Autodesk family of tools, but also Visual Live. And that's what I'm learning when I've had these series of experts like you, is that there's so many different tools out there, but you have to have innovation people like who I'm talking to today to take the different tools and make them work in these particular models that connect the field to the innovation tools. Is that kind of fair how that all works?
Yeah, it's a good solution.
Awesome. Neil, would you, anything you'd add to that on the QR codes?
Yeah, to me on the QR codes, the way that, you know, when we first started using Visual Live, the way to place something in the field is you would have to, first I had to have my surveyor go out and give me a mark that I knew exactly what that mark was. And then I'd have to make that same mark in my model. And then I'd have to tell which way north was. And so then it was a lot more extra work and setup and such. And then they advanced to where you can pick 2 points, which worked pretty well. But then when they came out with the QR code, I was a little hesitant at first, but the way they went about it, it was a pretty simplistic way, and it really works well. I was pretty surprised, because all you really need to do is accurately place the marker that Bianca was talking about in Revit, and then out in the field, if you accurately place that marker in the same place, then once it's there, you scan the QR code, it loads the model and locates it for you all in one step. And then you just hit OK, and there's the model. You walk 20 feet away to the next column, scan the next one, again, it locates it, loads it, and again, you're all located, and it's all accurate again. So the simplicity of it all is really what I like about it.
Gotcha. So you're physically printing like pieces of paper that are a QR code that you're scanning with your iPad in the field.
Yep.
And so the shell is typically built before you're coming out and talking about the mechanical fire and all that stuff. So excuse my ignorance, but I'm just trying to connect the dots in my head and hopefully connecting for others to say in the field, it's this critical path of you're bringing different, literally printing just a QR code that brings you into the amazing BIM model instead of just printing rolls of paper that are instantly obsolete.
Yep.
Awesome.
And this is just kind of like a fun side thing that we've been toying with the idea of is live utility models. So the underground, being able to use these QR codes to go and scan in your iPad and see what's going on underneath or outside, alongside your project to see where your utilities connect. Those are different ideas that Neil's brought up, that a cool way that we can use this technology.
Again, yeah, and that's, I totally agree. That's when you start, when you can mentally see this stuff and understand how the tool works, of truly connecting those dots of like QR codes have been around for a long time, right? But how are they actually connecting the right way to understand that? And I believe that's why I think the art of construction brings a lot of validity, because we're taking the time to really understand the basis of design of how the stuff really works. So the next question, I'll start with Neil, because I'm putting Bianca on the spot the whole time here, and she's just crushing it. So I'm going to switch it around. Of Neil, if you had that crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, what would you say of us when we're going to leapfrog the current construction silos to break them down and move forward? What does that look like with the future of technology and construction?
For me, for instance, that just the, you know, augmented or mixed reality alone, I see is going to, not just for modeling and BIM, I think it's going to be a huge change all the way around. Our safety glasses, and whoever comes out with the first augmented or mixed reality safety glasses that they can wear out in the field that are qualified safety, but yet still have the technology built in, even if it is just to pull up their drawings or pull up an email, or make a call. Another really cool thing that I've been looking into is the visual assist on the HoloLens, where you can do a video call with somebody from the field back to the office, and they can see what you're doing. And if you don't know the answer to a question or a problem, you know, they can work with you right away. And then you can imagine if you're a field worker with the goggles on and you want to talk to the engineer, now it's a call on the radio, hope the engineer has the radio on, and then he has to come out and find you on site, and then they get the answer. How about if you just hit your button, call him, he answers, he's sitting at his computer, you show him what it is, he gives you the answer, and it's done. I mean, you could just go on and on and on once that technology with those glasses comes into play. And then another thing, I go out in the field quite a bit and talk to the guys, and they all ask me, you know, when are we going to be able to play video games? And I tell them, I said, 10 years from now, you're going to come to work, we're going to have a station set up in the trailer, you're going to have a robot out in the field, you're going to put your thing on, and you're going to be running that robot and building from the trailer. And I truly believe someday that's going to happen.
Because what you're saying, Neil, it's like all this stuff is like the technology for that has been around for a while. It's just fast-tracking. And the key word I heard you say there is safety. Like, it's so much safer, everything you said, versus being up on the scaffolding trying to get your phone out to try to take a screenshot to get a picture, or try to go back to the job site trailer, wherever you need to go, to kind of communicate that project manager who is the secret sauce of what makes these projects work. So that's cool stuff. How about you, Bianca?
I really rely on conversations with Neil to look into that his crystal ball, because as you can see, he's kind of a mind melter. But it's been inspiring to see that there is a lot of possibility out there, and to see that there's ways to execute is even more exciting to me.
Awesome. And Bianca, to close this out, what's that one thing for contractors and affiliates that you would leave them thinking, what should they take action today to really grow their business?
I think embracing collaboration amongst your teams, really pushing that collaboration. So you know, BIM people, whatever they call their BIM department, really having them collaborate with project managers, superintendents, project engineers. When you get all those people in a room, things start to happen. And to really embrace that and push it and accept the technology that's out there for everybody to use, I think that's pretty powerful.
Awesome stuff. Great job, Bianca. Neil, bring us home, man. Same question for you. What is that one thing for contractors and affiliates that you want them to hear?
Kind of follow along with Bianca. I think that from my experience, you know, for so long now, BIM BBC has kind of been in its own silo. And a lot of people have been pretty hesitant to try to take on that technology or that change and have kind of been going a lot about it. Like I always say, there's a lot of GCs that just check the box. If it's on their contract, they'll check the box and do what they need to just get that box checked. But they don't understand that the amount of time, effort, and the information that's created by checking that box can be used for so much more stuff. And so if you're in a GC company and the leadership and your project teams, to get them to be involved in what you do, understand what you do, and understand how you can affect a project is key to what we're doing. And I really feel that if the GC doesn't make these moves and start to make these changes, they're going to start to be left behind.
Awesome stuff. Hey, I'm so excited to hear your presentation at Digital Build Week. BN Builders is, man, they're honored to have some superstars like you. And, you know, great job of sharing the story and educating the art of construction on the future of augmented reality, that it's becoming this buzzword. But I really love the fact to go in and really dig deeper of talking through QR codes and all that stuff. So, Tribe, if you're available in July, come meet up with us in July. Here's just the taste of the 74 presentation of Digital Build Week in Seattle. We'd love to have you there and meet you. And I can't wait to have a toast with you guys up at Digital Build Week. Great job.
Thanks, Evan.
So many lessons learned there, Tribe. Go out and check Visual Live and all the tools that it's hopefully it's helpful as I'm asking these questions when I'm not 100% sure. It's amazing what these people are teaching all of us about these lessons learned. But that was really mind blowing to say there is a few places you want to print a piece of paper. But if one piece of paper is that laser focused point on a QR code to drive the execution that everybody can collaborate on. And the other thing is about taking different tools and putting them together. In the world of collaboration and data-driven design, there's not one size fits everybody. So you have to, visionaries and leaders out there, you need to invest in the Neils and the Biancas, because they're the one that are going to take the different tools and put those together and make them work. So I am so passionate about taking all these tools and video games and putting them together for you to crush it out there and grow your business. Thanks for listening. See you next time, Tribe.